Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living Your Life by Design, a conversation of self, health, and wealth. And now, your host, certified career consultant, life coach, and author, Kathy Holloway Hill.
Good evening, listeners. Good evening. You are listening to the Living by Design show, and I'm Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
And we are so happy that you have decided to join us for the next 60 minutes. Welcome back, Tony. I know you were out sick last week, and our listeners missed you a lot, as they always do, so welcome back.
Thank you very much. Missed them, too. Yeah, there's a virus going around here, so unfortunately I caught it, but I'm feeling much better now.
Well, that's great. You were in our prayers, and I've heard a lot of people talk about allergies. It's springtime, and I see all that stuff falling from the trees, so I know that's probably contributing to some of the stuff that's going around, and I'm sure a lot of it is just germs, but a lot of it could be allergies, too. So glad you're back.
Thank you very much.
We have a fantastic theme this month. It is absolutely wonderful, and I have two powerhouse guests that are going to be joining us this evening, and I am so excited to have an opportunity to talk to both of these guys at the same time. I very, very rarely, Tony, you know, because, you know, we've been doing the show for quite a while, and I very, very rarely have a guest on twice. And my guest this evening was on the show just in January, just a few months ago, but he made such a powerful impression on me, just very impactful, and his words, they still resonate in my head to this very day, and I received so many email notes from that show in January because the theme was self-discovery and understanding your purpose, and he really inspired our listeners a lot. So Ty Bennett is back this evening, and he also introduced me to one of his colleagues, Kevin Hall, and I have read Kevin's book, Aspire, which is actually the title of tonight's show, Get Motivated to Aspire Higher, and this book is absolutely phenomenal. I can't wait to get into this discussion with these two gentlemen because we are going to really dig deep, Tony, and one of the problems in this country today, I know one of the reasons that people are just not able to get motivated is self-esteem, and I really want to dig into that because I tell you, I don't typically watch talk shows, but occasionally I will watch Dr. Phil and Tyra, and the Tyra Banks show today just almost moved me to tears. It was so, so amazing at the topic. Young ladies on the show that were using bleach, Tony, on their skin. Because they
and were they
go ahead.
Were they from this country? Because I know in a couple of countries that's a tradition or something that they're doing. Was that going on here also?
This was here, right. They did mention that, right, there are other countries that do participate in that kind of activity, but these young women were so disgusted, and they hated themselves so much, and they associated their self-worth with their appearance. And I really want to get into this discussion. I mean, I don't want to jump right into that because I did receive a lot of email questions and comments about the show tonight, so I want to start there. But I tell you, that really moved me to know that there are so many. The bleaching industry, the companies that make those products, I didn't even realize, Tony, that it was a multi-billion-dollar industry. I didn't even know that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew a lot of folks did that kind of thing, but I knew it was from the standpoint of, in many instances, you see people talking about doing it to lighten spots and things like that, but for an overall appearance and to do something like that, that's amazing to me.
Well, what really hurt me more than anything, it was bad enough that the young ladies on the show were doing it, but they were actually doing it to their children. They were doing it to they were doing it to their 4 and 5 year old children because their skin complexion was too dark.
Wow.
So they were actually starting, and that's how beliefs start when we're young. So they were giving their children the belief, impression that you're not good enough. So the audio program that Ty Bennett created was The Power of Belief. That's one of the really big topics. And then Kevin's book, you know how I am, Tony, with books.
Oh,
I have
yeah.
so many pages turned down in this book. You know, I turn the pages back. I bend the page down at the top when I want to go back to that. And just about every page of that book is bent or turned down because one of the quotes, and Kevin, I know you're on. I'm going to bring you on in a minute. But one of the things that he says in his book is to believe means to be love. And I love it. I love that. I love that so much. Kevin, I have used your quote. I've credited you with the quote, but I love that so much, so very much, because that's what we have to do. We have to be love, but the love has to be on the inside. And I know I'm really getting strong into this, so I'm going to go ahead and bring my guest on the line. I'm going to bring Kevin on first. Kevin, are you there? Hello, Kevin, can you hear me? Okay, let's try to see if we can get Ty on here.
Kathy, I'm here. This is Ty. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I see Kevin, he has his number is here, and I've got his line open. His microphone is unmuted. Kevin, if you can hear me, could you please hang up and just dial back in? I don't know, maybe.
I will. Going. Well, you just heard him, so he'll be back.
Yeah, it's great. So, yeah, we just heard him, yeah.
Did he say that? Was that him that's in
yeah.
the bill?
Yeah, that was him. Yeah, so whatever the technical glitch was at the time when you told him to call back, he got it back. But we'll get him back on.
Excellent. Yeah, and Ty, I don't know how much of that you heard, but I tell you, we've got some serious things going on in this country, and there are so many of my listeners that need you guys. They need you.
Well, I'm excited to be back. Thank you so much for having me, and I'm excited to hear from Kevin as well and have a great discussion.
We are going to have a great discussion, and he's back, so I'm going to go ahead and open his microphone. So, Kevin, if you can hear me, please say yes.
I can hear you.
Absolutely fabulous. I'm excited.
I am, too. It's an honor to be on the call with you and with Ty.
Excellent. Thank you. And Tony is always, he's my co-host. He's been with me here for the last 2 years. We've been doing the show for 2 years, Tony?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 2 years. And we are both extremely, extremely committed to our listeners, guys, and we try to bring the very best material. We get tons of emails of people who really get benefit and they're touched by our topics. And I'm so excited about the topic tonight because I've used the title of your book in the title of tonight's show, Kevin, Get Motivated to Aspire Higher.
That's great.
And a lot of the emails that I received about tonight's show, I tried to batch them and, you know, just kind of batch them up into specific topics. People ask the same questions over and over and over, different people, of course. But it's a similar question, so I'm just going to kind of jump right in here, if you guys don't mind, and just go ahead and start the conversation. Because if you heard the opening and the pre-discussion that Tony and I had about some of the issues that are out there with the self-esteem problems, and I know that's one of the things that are really preventing people from getting motivated. And, you know, they get so caught up in their comfort zones, and even that, you know what, I don't really like that word, those words, comfort zone, because there's nothing comfortable about it. There's nothing
there
comfortable
isn't.
About it. It's a miserable zone. And either one of you can comment. I mean, you're just jumping in.
Well, I'll jump in if I can. Oh, go ahead, Ty.
No, Kevin, go ahead.
it's interesting. You talked about believe earlier, and Tony, it's a pleasure to be with you as well.
You also.
Ty's one of the first people that shared that with me, that believe means to be love, and it was one of our very first meetings together. And so if you believe in yourself, you love yourself. And, I mean, every person on this planet, 6.5 billion people and more every day, they're created perfectly. And so to be yourself in a world that's doing its best night and day to make you everybody else, that's to fight the hardest battle that any human being is ever going to fight. But if I'm coaching or I'm speaking or I'm writing, I try to give people permission to dream big and to do more and to believe in themselves, which is really giving them permission to be themselves. Because if you're not yourself, you'll never tap into the gifts that you have that are uniquely yours. And when you tap into those gifts, you honor the giver of those gifts. And that is so critical. Be who you are. Don't be who you're not.
Right.
And, you know, Kevin, it's interesting. It's interesting as he talks about stretching, because that's really what you said about a comfort zone is exactly that. That comfort zone, when we're not willing to step outside of it, it doesn't allow us to grow, to stretch, and to become who we're really capable of becoming. I like to say that a comfort zone is like a prison, in the fact that walls keep danger out and people feel comfortable inside there, but it also keeps your potential locked inside, and it doesn't allow you to really stretch and become who you are. And so when you start to believe that and you're willing to step outside and take those risks, then you really start to grow and develop, and you start to see those goals come to fruition.
Yeah, Ty, and you know, and that's one of the reasons I was just so anxious to have you back, because you made an extremely positive impact on not only my listeners, but me too. And I still use your quote because it just resonated with me so deeply. And, of course, I credit you with it, but I always tell my new clients, Ty Bennett is a fantastic motivator. And for me, it's a famous quote. When you're interested, you do what's convenient, and when you're committed, you do whatever it takes. I will never let that go. That is so true.
Well, it is, and it's true in everything in your life. And I think, you know, when you look at the problems that we face, many of them in our society right now, as people are trying to change their economic circumstances, you know, as you look at how many marriages are failing, all these things, it really comes down to a problem in commitment. It comes down to being willing to follow through. When things get hard, we decide that it's just not worth it, and we don't push through that painful experience. But all of the good, all of the enjoyment is on the other side of that pain. And when you're willing to do whatever it takes, that's when you really get to see what commitment can create in your life. And to me, those are words to live by. I have them on my mirror in my bathroom, and every day I look at them and say, you know what, I need to be committed, I need to follow through, I need to do whatever it takes today, and then we can just jump in and go after our goals.
Yeah, because I have so many clients that they say they want something, and they say they're committed, but they just don't. You've got to walk through the fire. You've got to push yourself, well, I don't really feel like doing that, I can't do it, or I don't have the energy, or you know, whatever, that's an excuse, and an excuse is a lie.
You know, Kathy, if I could share a quick story. I had amazing parents. I still have amazing parents, but I feel very blessed in the way that I was raised. I remember a very vivid experience for me. When I was 9 years old, I ran in a race in our community. And for most of the race, it was probably a couple miles long, and for most of the race, I was battling for first place with this other boy. And at the end of the race, probably the last quarter mile, there was a big uphill to finish off the race. And by the time we got to the bottom of that hill, I was exhausted. I mean, mentally, I was about to give up. And that boy started to pull away from me. And I started to decide, you know what, I'm just going to take second. No big deal. He just has more energy than me. I don't know how to keep going. And right as I started to decide that, to quit, my dad actually came out from the side where all of the parents were standing, and he literally started running next to me. And he looked at me, and he said, Ty, you need to give it all that you have and go and catch that boy. And I'm sure I muttered something like, I can't, it's too painful, and I don't know what I said. But he said, you can do it. Go and catch the boy and win the race. And something inside me just, I was inspired, and I felt new energy. And I started running as fast as I could, and I went up that hill, and right towards the end, I passed the boy, and I ended up winning the race.
Wow.
But the thing about that day that I'll always remember is as I was walking home with my dad, I remember he stopped dead in his tracks, and he said, Ty, you will be successful in anything that you do in your life because you've learned to push through the pain. And
wow.
I'll never forget that. I was 9 years old, and I remember that to today. I could tell you the place in the road where he was standing.
Mm.
But it's such an important life lesson. I mean, not just in business, but, you know, as a parent, in your marriage, and whatever it is, in exercise, there's going to be times when it's painful. And pain is okay. It's temporary. If you keep pushing through, you're going to get to the other side.
But if you get stuck inside that pain, that's going to be your prison for the rest of your life until you decide to push beyond, even though it's a comfort zone. That's why I don't like calling it a comfort zone, because it's a prison. It's a prison. But you've got to push beyond that pain if you truly are committed. If you want it to the level of being committed, that is.
And one thing I wanted to ask either one of you or both of you is one thing that, and I'm glad you gave us the story about your father, because one of the challenges with so many adults and particularly young people as they're dealing with situations of self-esteem and pride and really caring about who they are and whose they are is a lot of the things that they go through and or learn came from their parents. So how do you short circuit those messages and how do you get across to them? And there's many folks out there, I've been one of those individuals myself in my life, that you have to push past the pain regardless of what you've been taught, regardless of the stories that you've heard, because a lot of times folks just do settle, and they see the settling and they see the folks around them say, well, you know, you did the best you possibly could, and you don't really have to push past. You can go ahead and give up. How do you tell those individuals that have those stories or have those lessons that, look, there's something in you more than what you've been brought up to think. There's something in you that you've seen or that you need to see. Because one of the biggest challenges with most children is that their parents have given them life stories that don't prepare them for success.
Hmm. Can I address that, Tony?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I share a word in the first chapter of Aspire, and I'll give it away. It's the secret word. The word is Genshai, G-E-N-S-H-I-A-I. And I believe that one word, it could change the world if we really understood what it meant. 5 years ago, I went to Vienna, Austria, to visit with Viktor Frankl's family. Viktor was the great Viennese psychotherapist in Vienna after Freud and Adler. He spent 4.5 years in the death camps. He lost everything, his mother, his brother, his sister. His father died in his arms, his bride and unborn child. The Nazis even took his manuscript, tore it up in front of him, burned it, said, you're not going to be called Victor anymore. You're prisoner number 119104. And I went back to visit him from the man who said, what is to give off light must endure burning. I mean, he knew. And I was just with his grandson in Vienna in December, but I learned a word. I went into a store in the center of Vienna after about 5.5 days there, and a man, Praveen Chakur, and Ty, you've met Praveen. We flew him out to Deer Valley in June, and he said, Kevin, here's a word that I'd like you to share. And he shared that word when he discovered I was there meeting with Victor. He had a beautiful shop called the India Shop with linens and silks from all over the world. And he said, would you sign my book of greats? He had a book of greats that was about 3.5 feet tall. When you opened it up, it was a good 1.5 feet wide. Gandhi's son and daughter had signed that book. Mother Teresa had been through that store. He opened it up, and Viktor Frankl had signed this book of greats. And he said, would you sign this book of greats? Now, I don't know how any of you would feel, but I stood back just a bit.
Yeah.
I felt pretty good about myself. I'll tell you about my mother in a minute. But I didn't feel like I was that great to sign next to, you know, the original Nike slogan, Mother Teresa, you know, you must be the change you wish to see in the world, Gandhi, and then Viktor Frankl. And I said, you know, Praveen, I'm honored to meet you. Thanks for the gesture, but I can't sign your book of greats. Well, he took me by the arm, took me outside, walked me to a Chinese restaurant in the center of Vienna. He sat down and he said, I have a word. And he knew I was writing this book about words. He said, I hope you'll add this to your book. He said, I grew up in Calcutta among the poorest of the poor. And through education, we got off the streets. And he said, I'm from the East, you're from the West. I'm black-skinned, you're light-skinned. What do you believe about me? And I remember that just as clear, Ty, as you did with that run with your father. I remember right where we were looking at Praveen, and I said, we're created by the same creator. You're my brother. And he said, that's what I believe also. And I believe that because I was taught that by a noble mother. And then he shared, he said, my mother taught me this word. It's Genshai. It means that you should never look at, touch, speak, address another person in a manner that would make them feel small. And then he taught this lesson. He said, don't let someone treat you small. Don't ever treat somebody else small. But above all, and this is where he really hit the target, he said, Kevin, don't ever treat yourself small. You didn't sign my book of greats, and you are one of the greats. Don't ever treat yourself small. So that's where I try to start, whether I'm writing or speaking or coaching, because we don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we see ourselves, and the way we treat ourselves, it reflects in the way that we treat everyone else. So that one word,
and I love
if we understood it.
You're right. I remember that in your book. I have that word circled and highlighted and the page turned down. I just want to make one comment about your question, Tony. You are absolutely right, and I 100% agree that there are, I won't even throw a percentage out there, but I would venture to guess it's a large percentage of people who come from toxic households, dysfunctional households. But my feeling about that, and you guys can comment on it, you know, how you feel about it, at some point in our lives, at some point when we become adults, we have got to stop making excuses, blaming it on our parents, blaming it on our dysfunctional backgrounds, blaming it on society. We've got to stop blaming and start taking responsibility for who we are and what's wrong with us today. Once we acknowledge and realize it, that's the first step. Okay,
absolutely.
Right. We did not have great upbringing. We did not have good role models. But we know now. We have the tools. We have the knowledge. We have the information. So it's up to us once we become adults. When we're children, absolutely, we're victims. But once we become adults, we cannot continue to be victimized and blame.
Oh, I've got to just jump in here with one much quicker thought. You can break the cycle. You can break the chain. My mother did. My mother was a single mother of two at the age of 19 years old. She could have been going to junior proms and senior balls, and she was raising two boys. She was an alcoholic, which she overcame and became a great drug and alcohol abuse counselor. And at her funeral, I remember someone coming up and saying, your mother changed my life. In the darkest time when I didn't think I could even live another day, she helped me move on. Well, my grandmother, who I loved, was also an alcoholic, but she never overcame it. And my mother could never get the right job, according to her mother. She could never marry the right guy. She could never really do anything right. But for some reason, and I am so, as a son, as you talked about your father, I am so grateful for the memory of my mother, because as a little boy, she would, even though she maybe didn't even believe it for herself sometimes, she would lift up my chin, look me in the eye, and say, Kevin, you're going to do great things. You realize every worthy dream in your life, as long as, and this was her caveat, as long as you leave other people better for having met you. Now, I don't know what caused her to do that. I don't know how she was able to break the chain, because she could have passed it on and said, you'll never get the right job, you'll never do enough, you'll never marry the right person. And she was the exact antithesis of that. And I'll tell you what, that's the greatest blessing that you could ever give someone, is to break that chain, break that cycle, be a victor, not a victim. Viktor Frankl was aptly named. He chose to be a victor, and he said, you can take anything away, you can do anything to me, but you can't take away the last of the human freedoms, the ability to choose one's way in any given set of circumstances. And we all have that ability.
I love that story. I love that story. So if your mother was able to break the cycle, you know why? Because she had a choice. And she exercised that choice. So for everyone who's listening, for everyone who did come from dysfunction, there's nobody on the planet who came from a stronger dysfunction than me. My family put the D in the word dysfunction. And I was a victim for quite a while in my life. But when I became an adult, I had to make the choice, just like your mother made the choice, Kevin. I had to make the choice that I don't want to continue to feel that way. I want to be happy. I want to feel better. I want to love myself. It's a choice. Ty, did you want to comment on this?
Yeah, I think it's such a powerful thing that most people don't recognize, is happiness is a choice. You know, the way that you live your life, your attitude towards any situation, deciding to take responsibility is absolutely a choice, and it is. It's the key to success. That's where it all starts. When we get over the idea that it's somebody else's fault, and we look in the mirror and say, you know what, I am where I am because I've chosen this, and if I want to change my course, that's a choice that I can make as well. And, you know, congratulations to you for doing that, because of that choice, you're a better person, you're happier, but you've also impacted the lives of millions of people. So way to go with that. I mean, that's such a testament to what people have, the potential they have inside each of us, and that's the way that each of us should live. We just have to choose to do it.
Mm-hmm. And again, going back to your statement, commitment versus interest, it has to be a commitment that you make, not just something that you kind of want to do it maybe tomorrow if I feel like it, or, you know, it has to be a commitment that it is just such a strong driving desire in you that it you just have to do it. You have to do it. So you've got to dig deep and find that commitment, find that driving brilliance that's inside all of us, because we all possess it. Now, I want to change directions here just a little bit and talk about change, the word change, because as I said, I received quite a few email notes about tonight's show, and I bundled these topics together. That's one of the topics. A lot of the emails that I received were about change. Change is difficult. Change is difficult. I think I read over 200 and some odd email notes with that same comment. Change is difficult. So, Ty, you want to start with that?
Well, you know, I think people hate change. You know, we all do. And my take on it is I would stop using the word change, because so many people, you know, they think, oh, change is so hard. It has such a negative connotation with it. And I would change that word and instead use the word growth.
Mm.
And doesn't that sound better? Isn't that a little bit more exciting? You know, everybody wants to grow. Everybody wants to become more. Everybody wants to have a bigger impact, have more influence. Everybody wants to grow their income, grow in terms of their wealth, all the things that they have about them. And so if we can just change the connotation a little bit, we approach it differently. And so to me, I try and not to focus on change, because the inevitability of change is that we're going to grow. And when we focus there, we attack it with a little bit more commitment, a little bit more passion, and that growth really takes place.
Mm. Yeah, Kevin, you want to comment on that?
Well, that's why I love Ty Bennett. Ty and I have been able to work together. I actually was able to coach Ty And I remember my wife saying, I don't know who's getting more out of this, you or Ty.
It was definitely me.
It's just such a remarkable, all three of you on this call, I'm just honored to be here. When you said that, Ty, I went, oh, my goodness, why haven't I thought of it like that? Because everybody wants change as long as it's not them changing. You know, we all want change, just don't change me. But when you look at the approach of growth, when you said growth, you know what word I thought of, Ty? What was the word I thought of when you said growth? Humility. And humility is one of the most misunderstood and misapplied words in all of language. It's not being passive or submissive or distinguished with slumping shoulders or bowed heads or subservient downward glances. It's about being teachable and coachable. It comes from dirt, humus, H-U-M-U-S. That's where humility comes from. It's that rich, dark, organic soil that allows for growth. And if you plant a seed in rich soil, it will come up under, around, and through any obstacle that's placed in its way. So top achievers, those that have fulfillment and abundance and happiness in their life, they're always learning. They have this continual commitment to learning, growing, expanding. Stephen Covey calls it living life in crescendo, where your greatest work is always ahead of you. And then they put their shoulders back, their heads are up, they reach, they stretch to become their very best, and then they extend themselves to help others do the same. That's what humility is. And without humility, I was just talking to Harvey McKay, the best-selling author, the other day, and he really loved that section where we talked about humility, because without it, there's no real growth. You can't grow if you don't want to grow and if you're not teachable. And that's why programs like yours, what you and Tony are doing, Kathy, it's just so important to share the positive side of life, because it's the Pygmalion effect. We get what we expect, whether we expect the best or the worst, that's what we're going to get.
And, you know, I really like the growth versus the change and replacing it, because that's a powerful, powerful statement. That's a powerful change in itself, just in the word, because if you look at the word change and remove it and replace it with growth, then everything that you look at that you're facing gives you an opportunity to get better and be better, because you're not, because the one thing, as you said earlier, people are afraid of change. People don't like change. But when you talk about growing and getting better and being better, if you can replace that in your mindset, in your psyche, and in your subconscious and say, every time I do something different, it's going to make me be better and do better and be better for myself, that will enable you to get out there and take on the world, take on every obstacle and look good and look forward to it, because there's nothing that can stop you. So I've never heard it said like that, and it has changed the thing in me and given me an opportunity to look at growth, look at change as growth now, because I'm going to try to eliminate that word from my vocabulary and replace it with growth. Every time something goes on, I'm going to put that word there, because that's amazing to me. And it's so amazing that a simple change of phraseology can change a person's mind or grow a person's mind in this particular case.
Well, Tony, it's interesting because, you know, Kevin's the wordsmith. Kevin studies the etymology of these words, and you've already heard him talk about genshai and humility, and that there is real power in words. There's power in the connotation. There's power in understanding the meaning. And if anyone was ever going to do themselves a favor, I would recommend that they get Kevin's book, Aspire, because as you read through and understand the meaning of some of these words around leadership, around taking responsibility, around growing yourself, it'll be a completely life-changing experience, because it is exactly what you just said. There's major power to each of these words. And the thing that I love about Kevin's book is it's such unique content that he unveils these words. He helps you to understand what they are, what they mean, and it changes something inside your mind and gives you another level of understanding. And another level of understanding mentally is always going to lead to another level of action that you're going to express, and therefore the results that you're going to have.
You know, that reminds me. Ty, thank you for reminding me. I want to make this quick announcement before we get too deep into the show, which we are already pretty deep. I am going to be giving away to listeners a copy of Kevin's book. So email me at Kathy at C Holloway Hill.com, CHOLLOWAYHILL.com. I'm giving away two copies of Aspire, which is the name of Kevin's book. We've got to get this book out there. I mean, Kevin, your book is doing phenomenal. I mean, it's number one in a gazillion categories on Amazon, and I'm so happy about that. I just want to read a couple of words from the inside cover, and then I want to tell a quick little story. On the inside cover of Kevin's book, he says, "Words sell and words repel. Words lead and words impede. Words heal and words kill." I love that. I love that. I love that. So I just had to get that out there. And then just real quick, I want to tell a story. I recently started teaching at one of the local colleges, and it's a small college, and it's a career college. So 90% of the students are adults over 30 years old who want to go back to school and try to further their education because they're in career transition or maybe got laid off or whatever the case may be. Well, the class that I'm teaching is actually the same principles that are in my book. It's the same principles we're talking about here on the show. It's about comfort zones, beliefs, and understanding how to discover things about yourself. Like Tony said, you know, your toxic behavior from your childhood and all those things. That's what the class is about. And the first night that I taught the class, when we first had our first session, these adults, about 25 people in the class, they were so far removed from these principles, they didn't have a clue what I was talking about. They were totally clueless, and they just really were a little bit not interested. Just like, well, that's easy to say, but you know, it's just too hard to do. So, and I had a conversation with a friend, and that friend told me, because I said to the friend, you know, I don't really know if I want to do this because I would rather speak to people who get it and are willing to grow, as you stated, which I love that, changing the word change to grow. I said, I think I'd rather work with people who are actually willing to grow. These people don't seem to be willing. And I will never forget, and this is a very good friend, and he said to me, where do you think that you are most needed, with the people who actually get it or with the people who don't? And that was such an eye-opening comment to me. It resonated in my head, and I have to tell you, I taught the fourth class. I've taught my fourth class, and these same people that I made that comment about initially, they are like sponges. They are all over me during break, after class. They don't want to go home. They don't want to leave. And I said that to say that, for one, you never know. Just because someone doesn't get it initially, immediately, doesn't mean that they won't get it. So you have to be diligent and consistent and persistent. And two, that these people started out not having the first clue. So for all those listeners out there who do get it, you understand it, you're so far ahead of the game. You're so far ahead of the game. So I just wanted to make that quick comment and tell that story.
Hey, Kathy, so, I had a couple of thoughts as you shared that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the word inspire. Fire means breath. Some people say, well, it's spirit. Well, our Creator breathed life into our spirit. Breath is the origin of spire. So when we inspire, we breathe life into someone or their dreams. And when we expire, we suck the air out of those dreams. So, I mean, you made a choice. Okay, I'm going to inspire and breathe life into others. They may not get it on the first class or the second or the third, but the fourth time you started to see that impact. And I just got to tell you, words and thoughts, they're just not insignificant bits of information that just enter our minds and then fade away or float away. Thoughts are concrete things. Words, ideas, beliefs, as Ty will tell you, they shape our daily lives. And they can really help us open up our entire lives if we understand what they mean, where they came from, and what kind of power they can have in our lives.
That's true. And I have to add to that and say energy. Because the words that I not only said to these people, I showed so much energy in my delivery. They knew I believed what I was saying. I believed it with every fiber of my being, and I gave it my all. Every single time I go and teach that class, I always give it my all. Well, that's what I do when I speak because I love it so much. And I know my words had an impact and my energy had an impact because it's contagious. It's contagious. Just like if you walk in a room and you've got 20 of your friends there and they all have the flu, you wouldn't want to walk in that room, would you?
No.
That's exactly how positive energy is. It's contagious. And I do believe that in addition to, like you stated, the words, because words are so very powerful, that it just really caught on. Before we run out of time, guys, I really want to get your take on, now this is me, because a lot of these topics we actually kind of hit on. Procrastination is one of the things I saw in a bunch of my emails, and I think that kind of comes with the growth aspect, that if you grow and commit it, then that will take care of the procrastination piece. But I want to talk about, I know you both heard my intro and that comment I made about watching one of the popular talk shows, and Tyra Banks, she is a great advocate for young women, and she had a topic on about young women who obviously have no self-esteem to want to bleach their skin to the point of being accepted in society because they're not light skin and their skin is just too dark and they want their skin to be a different color. And then you have the other side of the coin, which Tyra actually didn't talk about, but I'm saying it. You have the other side of the coin, Caucasian women who obviously don't love themselves because they feel the need to bake their skin in the sun, you know, and both sides are susceptible to skin cancer. So to put yourself in that position, I want to talk about the media and how society plays such a role in that, and how can our listeners try to repel that societal hold or that strong hold that the media puts on us and makes us believe that here's what beauty looks like, and if you don't look like this, you're a loser. How can our listeners not do that and try to, you know, find it from within? The media is there to sell products and do their thing and make money. They don't care about your self-esteem. Well, shows like mine do, but most of them.
Well, it's interesting, and, you know, it's really a sad thing when you hear about that. And I think that there really is a truth. There's a misunderstanding that so many people have in the fact that they associate their appearance, their outward worth to the world, or even their net worth to their self-worth. And those are very different things. Self-worth is really who you are at your core. You can't change it. You can't develop it. It's what you were born with. It's your potential. And so we need to recognize that. And then when we start to bring our belief in line with our self-worth, if self-worth is I am, you can't change it, it's who you are, and belief means to be in love with, that when you start to believe in your self-worth, you fall in love with who you really are. And you start to see that for what it is. And so some practical ways that you can do that, my encouragement to people that I coach is I would say if it's not a positive thing, why are you putting it in your mind? I personally am not a huge fan of the news and a lot of shows and things like that. I just feel that I don't have time for them because I don't see where it brings a lot of good in my life. And so I jokingly tell people that if you're not on the news, then don't watch the news. You know, if you're not being featured, it's probably not worth it. Because we need to be careful what we put in our minds. You know, constantly reading good things, picking up good books, listening to programs like this, instead of just listening to talk radio, put in an audio program, listen to some CDs, something good that's going to be uplifting, and put good thoughts in your head, because that changes the way that you think, and very specifically, the way that you think about yourself.
That's a great comment. Kevin, you want to add to it?
Yeah, it saddened me when I heard what you said, and I agree wholeheartedly with what Ty has just said. There's a word that we throw around. Sorry to be a word nerd, but the word is character.
I love it.
People say, do you have character? Character evolved from an engraving. It was what was a character was something that was engraved on wood, on stone, on metal. It's really everything good and everything bad that's happened to you. That's what makes up in totality your character. But then at Shakespeare's time, a character became a part in a play. It, instead of being who you were, it was everything that you weren't. It was who you were not. In fact, they even wore, I was thinking of masks when you're talking about this bleaching and whether you're trying to tan or bake or bleach, they wore masks because they were playing a part. And if you want somebody to grow, you've got to have the self-honesty to say, okay, who are you? What are your gifts? How can you magnify those gifts and be you? Don't be anybody else but you. And when people, as Ty just talked about, when they can say that's who, the two most powerful words in the English vocabulary, or I am, without doubt, I am. I am that I am. This is who I am, and I love who I am. When someone can say that and believe that, well, that opens up everything else. But the media often teaches everything else. You know, you're not enough, be this, do that. How come you're not like somebody else? And we just need to be the best us that we can be. And if we do that and we're happy with that, you have inimitable potential. It is limitless what someone can do by just tapping into their unique gifts. And that's what my work is all about, is helping people discover their purpose. Because when you do that, you never work a day of your life. You do have that fulfillment, that happiness, that abundance.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. I received a call the other day from one of the universities that I did a keynote presentation for last year. And, I mean, this work is so not about me, and I hope whoever is hearing me talk this doesn't get that impression because it's just totally not about me. But I received a call from one of the universities that I spoke last year, did a keynote for the graduating class. And she called me this week and she said, you know, I have been interviewing candidates for this upcoming graduating class this year in June, and I've interviewed people and I've talked to people, but I just can't find anybody who had your level of passion last year, and I really want you to come back. And she said, we typically don't have the same speaker 2 years in a row. And that meant so much to me, guys, because it just solidifies that I'm living where I'm supposed to be. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. God is orchestrating my steps. He is designing my life, and that just really brings it home for me when something like that happens. Because you're right. When you're doing what you were placed on this earth to do, you'll never have to work another day in your life because it's not work. It's your purpose. It's what you're supposed to do.
Well, it is. And when you think of, she talked about your energy and your excitement and your passion. I mean, the word enthusiasm means God within or God's gift within. The word namaste, when we say namaste at the end of a yoga class, if we use that word as we greeted everyone instead of saying hi or hello, if we said namaste, we're really saying I salute your uniqueness.
And you know, typically I see
what it is that you do great. That emotion, that enthusiasm, that excitement, it's just contagious.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Typically I see a little bit of confusion with people with self-esteem versus self-confidence. They kind of get those two confused. Now, I'm going to tell you guys what I think, and Tony, Ty, Kevin, you know, you guys can comment. I believe self-esteem is just an inner love regardless of what you have accomplished. Self-confidence, in my opinion, comes from your accomplishments, things you've done well, which continues to build on your self-confidence. But self-esteem is just knowing you're great no matter what you've accomplished or what you haven't accomplished. It's, I don't believe we're human beings. I like to call us human becomings because, you know, we're always growing. We're always learning. We're never done. We'll never be completed until they put us in the ground. So that's what I think. How would you guys comment on that, self-esteem versus self-confidence?
You know, Kathy, in my audio program, The Power of Belief, I define self-concept, self-esteem, self-confidence, and self-worth. And we already talked about self-worth being I am. Self-concept would be I think. It's what you think about yourself. It's a mental process. Like you said, self-esteem would be I feel. It's what you feel inside. You know, it's that love that you have for yourself. It's the emotion that you carry about yourself, regardless of what's going on. It's what you really feel. The word confidence actually means to go forward with faith, and confidence is a word of action. And so you look at people who have confidence, who have self-confidence. They're people who are taking steps towards whatever it is they're going after. They're taking action. And so as your self-esteem improves, it allows you to be more confident in yourself and really take action to go after your goals. And so I think that your self-confidence is very much portrayed because it's an outward thing, but it comes from the inner feeling. You have that self-esteem that's such a fragile thing that we need to make sure that we keep guarded and that we continue to develop.
A great description. That's great. Tony or Kevin, anyone you want to comment?
Well, I was just going to, you know, kind of piggyback on that because I think the bottom line is they go hand in hand in so many different ways, as was just described, because if you have self-esteem, if you have high regards for yourself and feel good, then, you know, to be able to take that action and to use the action and be in place and do the things that you need to do. But if you don't have high regard for yourself, then it's difficult to move past, you know, taking that action. Very few people that I know that don't have high self-esteem can have a lot of self-confidence. They don't have the ability to work past those situations. But when they have, you know, high regards for who they are and feel good about who they are, then the actions that they put in place seem to be able to go forward because they do feel good about themselves.
And I want to add to that, Tony. I totally agree with everything that's just been said here, and it even cascades further into how we treat others. I said earlier that we don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we see ourselves. And if we treat ourselves with dignity and respect, it'll be reflected in the way we treat others. If we treat ourselves with disdain and contempt, well, that'll also be reflected in the way we treat others. And so sometimes we look at someone and they're sarcastic, they treat people poorly, it's the antithesis of Genshai, they treat them small, and you say, boy, who do they think they are? They must really think they're somebody special. Generally the opposite of that. They don't feel real good about themselves, and that is reflected in the way that they treat everyone around them. So if you see someone who's kind and giving and inspiring, and leaving every person that they meet better for having met them, chances are 99 out of 100 times they understand those four areas that Ty was just talking about, and they do have self-esteem. They have it innately, and they try to share that with others.
Absolutely.
Now guys, I want to make sure before we run out of time that we get your websites and your because I know you both have outstanding resources on your websites, and I'm, like I said, I'm going to say it again, I'm giving away two copies of Kevin's book for whoever emails me first. The first two emails I receive will get a copy of Kevin's book. But could you all go ahead and give our listeners your website?
Kevin, go ahead.
Absolutely. My website is www.powerofwords.com. And I give out my email address. It's in the book. I get emails every day from readers. It's Kevin, K-E-V-I-N, @powerofwords.com. And if I can do anything for anyone, feel free to reach out to me, and I'll get back to you within a day or two.
Well, Kathy, I would just give a major recommendation to all of the listeners today. get a copy of Kevin's book. You can go to Amazon. You can pick it up at any bookstore. Aspire is one of the greatest reads you will ever find.
And it's
I'm
on his
very,
website. There's a link there, too.
Yeah, it is on the website. You can go to Power of Words and connect to it there. I'm a very avid reader, and not just because Kevin and I have become friends, but the content in that book has put it definitely in my top 10 of all the books that I've read, so I couldn't recommend it more. As well, with me, I'd love to connect. My website is leadershipinc.com, leadershipinc.com, and you can find me there, connect to me there, and I'd love to be in touch with any of you and help in any way I can.
Yeah, Ty has a lot of fantastic articles on his site, so I encourage you to visit both the sites. And I'm going to say again, I tell you, this book, the copy, my copy of Aspire is, oh, my goodness. I don't even think I could allow anybody to borrow my copy because I have, Tony knows how I am with my books. I turn down my pages when a book really touches me. And this is one of those books. You're right, Ty. It's definitely in the top three best books I have ever read. And I am an avid reader. I'm always, every day, either listening to a motivational CD of some sort or reading a book, or learning, surfing the web, or trying to get that, trying to grow myself, trying to grow my knowledge, because I want to be that voice for whoever I can help. I want to be that. That's what I'm committed to. And this book, I tell you, if you want to get motivated to change, to aspire higher, then get the book.
And Kathy, if I could just say this, I know we're running out of time, but I just wanted to put this out because we've had this discussion on previous shows and when we talk one-on-one. One big topic that's been everywhere in the news is bullying and young people bullying, you know, each other and things like that. And the thing that could eliminate it, absolutely eliminate it, is if we can teach those young people, the ones that are bullies, to understand that they are great. And their greatest gift would be great to someone else. And then also teach those children who are being bullied the same lesson. Then we wouldn't run into the things that we're running into. And I mean, I that came to me during the show, and I've known that, but and self-esteem is the biggest issue about it all. I tell my young daughter all the time, don't worry about what someone says about you, because God made you great. And what they say cannot diminish the greatness that he's made you and the blessings that he's given you. So don't allow that to affect you. And the thing about it is if we take those words that we've spoken about and the lessons that we've learned here and just pass them on to these young people, it will make a tremendous change in their lives.
Tony,
very good point. I
want to just share what you talked about there, and Kathy or Tony, send me your Tony's address. Tony, I want to send you a signed book so you've got a copy, because it's been such an honor to be on this call tonight, and I really applaud you. Ty said that what you're doing here is just incredible, and it is. It is a force for good. It's positive. It helps people tap into their potential. If people just understood, we have a national media event next week where we'll be able to share the word Genshai in front of millions of people. That one word, if these young people, as you taught your daughter, if they can understand that ancient tribal word from another culture, from the East, we're in the West, I mean, we're connected. And when they understand, oh, I don't want to treat someone small. Praveen said that when he walked by a beggar in the street, if he were to just toss casually a coin, he wouldn't be practicing Genshai. His mother said, you kneel down, you look them in the eye. And when he would look that beggar, he or she, in the eye, he said, then when I reached in my pocket, that coin became love. It became love, not just a coin. And so if we know we're all in this together, we're all trying to do the best we can. We're connected. We need help. Nobody gets or achieves anything by themselves. I think the power of that one ancient tribal word, Genshai, it could change the bullying that goes on and has gone on for decades and centuries. It would go away if we really understood that word.
And guys, we're running down on the last 30 seconds. We're getting ready to wind it up here. So thank you ever so kindly. I will be very, very honored when I can share the stage with you both. Thank you for coming back to my show, Ty. And, Kevin, thank you so much. I will honor this show, and I'm sure I'll get tons of downloads for it. So we're going to sign off for now, and we're going to see you guys next week continuing our theme of Get Motivated. I am Kathy Holloway-Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
And we will see you guys next week. Good night, everyone.